morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point Live. It's so good to be back amongst the brethren and to have the opportunity to come and share the word with you. As this message goes out around the world on Facebook and on YouTube and in our ministry center, our online sanctuary and ministry center, because we've almost got everything all hooked back up together where one stream goes to all of these places. We pray that you are doing well on this Palm Sunday, 1 week out from the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. Yes, the resurrection. Less than a week celebrating the price that he paid on the cross. 1 week away from the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now it has been a good long while since we have been live. We've been recording, but we haven't been live. And, you know, the reason for that is we needed to take a break. The previous 2.5 years have been challenging. We'll just put it that way. And we needed to take a break, step back, and refactor and consider what we are doing and how we are doing it. And so we are back now. We are going to be streaming regularly every week. We may be moving the time of our stream around to accommodate where the majority of our connections come in at. And the majority of our connections do come from Asia, the continent of Asia, Southeast Asia, and kind of to the eastern edge of Europe. Think Russian Federation. And so we may be moving some things around to accommodate those viewers and those groups a little bit more directly. But in the meantime, we are here and we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke. And we are in chapter 9. This is part 4 of chapter 9. And the title of today's message is Changed. But before we get into that message, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, we just come before your throne and we just thank you and we just bless your name. And we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory. Father God, we invite you into this place. And we ask, Father, that you would have your way in this time. Father God, let everything that is said and everything that is done bring you honor and glory. And if there's anything in the notes or in the message that you would not have brought out, I pray, Father God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would just cause that to be stopped up. And Father, if there are things that you do want said, have your way with this mouth, with this tongue. Father God, we open our ears, we open our eyes, we open our hearts to your grace, to your glory, and to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Now, if you've turned in your Bible to Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28, you will notice that this is not a Palm Sunday reading. And the reason that this is not a Palm Sunday reading is because, well, this happens to be where we are in our cycle of readings. And yet, even though this particular passage does not directly recount the events of Palm Sunday, it's still related to the events of Palm Sunday and to the events of Easter. Because you see, at this point, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. This is going to be the last trip to Jerusalem that Jesus is taking. And so this is maybe a week or two before the triumphal entry, what we call Palm Sunday. And so, believe it or not, this still really, really speaks to what was said on Palm Sunday when the people lined the road and they cried, save us now. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Because here, well, let's just get into the word. Beginning at verse 28. Now it came to pass that about 8 days after these sayings, what sayings? After the sayings that occur when Peter confessed Jesus as God, as Messiah. After Jesus had talked about the cost of discipleship. And closing out that section in verse 27, we're going to back up a verse. But I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And then 8 days later, now it came to pass, about 8 days after these things, that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. So Jesus is taught, and now Jesus goes and he does what he does very often, which is get to a place of solitude. And when he goes to pray, I want you to notice, yes, it's great to pray by ourselves, but notice what Jesus did. Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. He took Peter, James, and John with him. Why? Well, we are told where two or more are gathered, there he, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, will be in their midst. And so Jesus has his face set towards Jerusalem, and in fact, a little bit further on in the Gospel of Luke, we will see that the Samaritans reject Jesus because he had his face set to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus has his mind on the fact that, honestly, and not too much longer, two, maybe 3 weeks, a month, from where we're reading in the scripture, that he's going to be in Jerusalem. And so Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, in the next verse, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. In other words, Jesus was changed. And that brings me to the first point of this study. When we pray, when we go and seek the presence of God, and we are in communication with the Father, a lot of times we pray and we're praying like we want to change God's mind. But when we pray, it isn't God's mind that gets changed. Rather, it's us. And Jesus prayed. And as he prayed, what was he praying about? Well, we're going to find out what he was praying about. We're going to get to that. Hold your horses. We're getting there. But when he was praying, his appearance changed. When he was praying, what happened? Well, if you have a study Bible, this passage is called the Transfiguration. Transfiguration means change. Metamorphos is the Greek word used there. What change happened? Well, what happened was, as Jesus was praying, the very glory that was his before the incarnation began to break through. And the three that were there on the mountain with him were able to see Jesus in his glory as God. The part of Jesus that was 100% God, that is 100% God, began to break through the part of Jesus that was 100% man. And he was changed. And what brought on the change? Well, it says it. As he prayed. And there's a lesson there for us. Because you see, as we pray, when we are praying, and we are praying with the intentionality of doing God's will, as Jesus was praying on the mountain, and how we know that, we're going to get to that. When we pray with intentionality of doing God's will, when we pray with intentionality of coming into alignment with God's plans and God's purposes, we get changed. We get changed. And what happens when we pray like that? Well, guess what? A little bit of the Holy Spirit begins to shine out of us. Now, I have yet to glow in the dark when I pray. I have yet to glow. I have yet to become radiant when I pray. And yet, when I'm praying the way I should be, when I'm communing with God the way I should be, I'm changed. And it's a change that becomes visible to witnesses that are around me. So his face was altered, and his robes became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Second point about being changed is that when we pray, we're changed. And we receive that impartation of the Holy Spirit. But a second thing happens. We receive revelation. We receive impartation, and we receive revelation. How do I get that? And behold, two men were talked with him, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law. And Elijah representing the prophets. When you have the law and the prophets together, you know what you get? You get the completion of the whole of the Old Testament. When you put together the law and the prophets, what do you get? You have the how of serving God, the law. And you get the prophets, which is the why of serving God. You get the how and you get the why. And watch this. On this mountain, you got Moses, you got Elijah, and you got Jesus. And Jesus represents the fulfillment of the law, the how. Be ye righteous, for I am righteous. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the commandment of God in the Old Testament. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But then you have the prophets represented by Elijah. For I have loved you with an everlasting love. Hosea instructed to marry a prostitute. Yeah. And his life and his marriage becomes a picture of God's relationship to the people of Israel. And dare I say, God's relationship to even those of us here in the church. Because how often do we wander astray thinking that there's something better in another house, in another place? So Jesus representing the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And what did these three do? They talked with him. What did they talk about? His decease, his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. You see, when we pray, we're changed. We come into alignment with the will of God, and we receive revelation from God to accomplish the mission that God has sent us on. You know, I can't imagine, I like to think that I could, but I can't imagine what was going through the mind of Jesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem for what he knows is the last time. He knows that in just a few days, few weeks, he is going to be betrayed, abandoned, beaten, denied, beaten again, and then crucified. And that he is going to die. Weighing on the mind of Jesus was the fact that in not just a few days, couple of weeks from the time of what we're reading, that for the first time ever, as the sin of the world is laid upon him, that he will be separated. Father. And that had to be weighing on him. And so he's praying on the mountain. And the glory is revealed. And Moses and Elijah, though long dead, are dispatched to discuss with him what he's about to accomplish. What he's about to accomplish. You know, some people look at the death on the cross and they're like, oh, what a tragedy. But it was more than just a tragedy. It was a victory. To Jesus, dying on the cross was something to be accomplished. It was like climbing a mountain. Why? Because the scripture tells us that he did not despise the cross, but rather he looked forward to it, not looking at the pain, not looking at the betrayal, not looking at the abandonment, not looking at the beatings, not looking at the crown of thorns. But as Jesus looked towards the cross, he looked through the cross, through the empty tomb, to see you and to see me. He did not despise the cross because for him the cross was a means to an end. And that means and the end is us. The means is us. And so because of Jesus being changed on the mountain and being strengthened by speaking with Moses and Elijah, because of that, we have a relationship with God the Father. Well, let's pick up, because I've still got a few verses to go. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So Peter and the boys were asleep. They were tired. How often do we miss some part of God's plan for us? Some part of God's purpose, some part of God's glory, because we grow tired. They grew tired. And they were half asleep. But then as Moses and Elijah were parting, then it happened as they were parting from him, that's Moses and Elijah, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. How often, because we are weak in the flesh, that we become inattentive to the instruction of God from the scripture. That we become inattentive to the glory of God from communing with him in prayer. And then just like Peter, we stick our foot in it. We think that we know what is good and what is intention of God. But we don't know. And we shoot from the hip rather than waiting for God to speak to us from the heart. And watch what happens. While he, that's Peter, was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." And when the voice ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days of any of the things that they had seen. How often do we miss the point? And God had to come back. The Father had to come back and tell them, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say." On this Palm Sunday, have we heard what Jesus has to say? Yes, Palm Sunday, we celebrate Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, he is all that and so much more. He's the beginning and the end, and all things that were made through him and for him. And they will find completion in him. And that's great and grand on a cosmic scale. But let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, dear brothers and dear sisters. Have you heard him? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "I love you. And I and the Father are one. And the Father loves you. And that's why he sent me." That's right. That's what Jesus would have to say to us. That is why he was sent. He was sent, setting aside the glory that he had in heaven. He was sent, setting aside his rights and privileges as God, to become a servant. Born in a dirty barn, to be laid in a feeding trough, to grow up in an obscure village, to be thought of as the product of adultery. To be rejected by the people that he came to. To be betrayed by one of his closest associates. To be abandoned by the rest and denied by Peter. To be blindfolded and slapped. to be spat upon, to have his beard ripped out, and to be taken by a kangaroo court to another court who found no fault with him. To be railroaded by the leadership. To be beaten, scourged by a Roman flagellum. And let me tell you something. The Romans had no such rule about 39 lashes. The 39 lashes was a Jewish rule. Because it was thought that 40 less 1 was merciful. The Romans had no such concept. He was beaten. To have a crown of thorns pressed into his scalp to bleed. Led away, and to die the death of a criminal. And not just the death of a criminal, because the Romans had multiple ways of executing people that they felt were criminals. But no, Jesus died the most shameful death possible. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Wasn't even his own tomb. It was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. To be thought of as a liar. And so have a detachment of soldiers to guard the grave. And then. Why? Why would he rise again on the third day? To show his love, to show his power over death. So that you and I might live forever. He died once that we might live. And all of that because on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was changed. And because Jesus was changed, so can you and I. We can be changed. And all it takes is belief, to trust in the thing that Jesus did for us, that he died in our place. And so on this Palm Sunday, yes, I want to declare Jesus. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are Hosanna in the highest. You are the one who saves. And yes, you save in the cosmic sense. But today I want to declare you are the King of my life. You are the one who saves my soul. And if you've never made that declaration, today is the day. And you can make that choice. And God will make that change. But if you never, never accepted the free gift of God, that Jesus died in your place. Today you can do that. Or maybe once you walked with God, but you walked away. Well, you can come back. Today is your day too. And all you have to do is in the quiet of your heart, just confess. Confess that you were wrong about Jesus. You were wrong about God. You're wrong about yourself. and that you can't save yourself. And then confess that Jesus has paid it all for you. Done it all. Confess, that's a big church word. All that means is to say the same thing about ourselves that God has already said. That's it. And if you do that, trusting that Jesus paid it all, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. And so, if that's you, I'm going to pray over you and then I'm going to close. Father God, we thank you for these that have given their lives to you. For these who have confessed that they can't save themselves, but you have done it all. Father God, I ask that you would just impart to them your Holy Spirit. That, Father God, you would guide them and strengthen them and protect them. Father God, I pray that you would guide them to a good church home. Or that, Father God, that they would contact us and we'll help them get plugged into a family of believers where they can grow and prosper. Father, we just ask in the mighty name of your Son Jesus for these new believers and for these recommitments, that they would bring glory and honor to your name. Amen and amen. If you have prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. And you can contact us in multiple ways. If you're watching on video, our email is up on the screen. For those of you on audio only, you can email us at staff@balance-point.org. If you're watching on Facebook, you can message us right through the Balance Point page. If you're watching on YouTube, again, you can message us right through the page. If you're on our church online platform, again, there is a link that will open up an email and you will be able to email us. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. We'd love to have you join the Balance Point Christian communities. And you can do that by simply going to our ministry center. And that is at www.balance-point.org. There you will find a back catalog of our messages. You'll find some tools. You'll find some articles that have been written. And from there, you can contact us. You can register to become part of the community. And what we will try to do is we will try to match you up with a church in your local area if we have a local pastor that we're familiar with. Or we will try to get you involved in one of the home churches. Again, in your area. And if nothing matches and nothing fits, then you are always welcome to join us here in the Balance Point community. You can also catch our services and some of the repeats of our services in our virtual sanctuary at Balance Point, all one word, online, balancepoint.online.church. That's our virtual sanctuary. We'd love to have you join us there. Also, if you are watching this on Facebook, if you could like and share this, and also if you are on the YouTube, please consider liking and sharing these messages as you get them, as it helps the algorithm to distribute the messages further and wider. It's not about us getting glory, but it is about God getting glory. It's about the message of God's love and grace getting put out to a wider audience. And so if you could help us out by liking and favoriting and sharing or whatever the modality of that particular social media platform is, it gets the message out so more people can hear the good news of God's love. If you need prayer, you can email us, and the email address for the prayer box is prayer@balance-point.org, or through any of our messaging methods. Again, our contact information for email is staff@bounce-point.org. And if you're interested in joining us in live worship, we at Bounce Point are partnered with a church planting organization here in Southern California. And all we just ask is that if you are local, well, wherever you're at, because the organization that we are now a part of, an organization that we are now with, has church plants all around the world. And so if you are interested in live worship, you can contact us here at Balance Point, and we will get you in contact with somebody in your local area. And now, receive the blessing. May the God of heaven and earth make visible to you his love, his grace, and his mercy. May you receive from the Son eternal life. And may you be empowered by the Holy Spirit as you go forth to live out his love and his grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all people said, amen and amen. Until Easter Sunday, be blessed.